Tonight, we're going to finish our series, What Works. This series is about some of the big truths of God's Word that we can put in practice in our life and know that it will work. As there's a whole lot of things that don't work. And, you know, I just want to remind you, the Word works. Amen. Faith works. The Holy Spirit works. And prayer works. You know, these are basic truths from the Word of God that, well, you know, on some level, I think all of us know these things. And yet it seems like a lot of the time we get distracted from them and distracted by things that don't really work even. And I think that it's a common thing in the body of Christ where, you know, it kind of goes along with that itching ears thing where people think, well, this sounds good and this sounds good, but I want to remind you of the things that really work. And the message tonight is something that is, well, I think it's really obvious. It's one that we're all familiar with, and yet it is a real challenge for us to live it out in our life. What works? Love works. I have to tell you, when I talk about love tonight, I'm not talking about feelings. Not talking about that. Feelings come and go. Some of you aren't feeling it right now. I'm not talking about strong like. This is where a lot of people are really messed up. They think, you know, you like something or somebody, you really like it. You like it a whole lot. Oh, that's love. No, we're not talking about an affinity, a fondness. I like you. That's not what I'm talking about tonight when we talk about love. I'm talking about the biblical kind of love, the God kind of love. And that love is a choice. And it is a sacrificial, giving kind of love. That's the love that works. I'm going to just say this up front. It's not real love as long as it's just felt or talked about. It's real love when we do something with it. It has to be acted upon. I'm glad that that's how the Lord loved us, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad he didn't sit up there in heaven and say, oh, I just love them. Too bad they're all going to hell. Love is how God saved us. You see, love works. We couldn't save ourselves. The law couldn't save us, but his love did. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was giving. It was sacrificial. He gave his only begotten son. And it was love, you see, that made the way for us to be forgiven and have a real relationship with God. It was love that made the way for us to be set free, for us to be healed and made whole. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost because he loved us. And sinners were drawn to him because he loved them. I'm telling you, love works. Jesus was so radically different from the scribes and the Pharisees. Religious people, they tried to corner Jesus, you know, get him to play by their rules. They bring him a woman caught in adultery, and they tell him the law says that such should be stoned. And you know the story, Jesus doesn't condemn her. They all go away. Because they couldn't cast a stone at her. None of them was without sin. But Jesus lets her go. Now the law says that she's to be stoned. The price for her sin. That was the price. I just want to remind you, he paid the price. And he paid the price for every one of us because of his love. 1 John 4:10 in the NIV, it says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Wow. In Ephesians 3, Paul prayed that the church would have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. How can you know something that surpasses knowledge? Well, it is only by the help of the Holy Spirit, but I tell you, we need a greater revelation and understanding of the love of God for us, just how magnificent, just how awesome it is. You know, 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God." I just, you know, if we don't really get this, we don't understand how powerfully love works. And I don't even think it's something we can just get in one message on a Wednesday night, but it's something that in our hearts we ought to be seeking and desiring to really see it and understand it on a deeper way, just like Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that we would really know this love that surpasses knowledge. Because I want to tell you, it'll reach you no matter how far you stray. It'll come after you. It is a love that's higher. See, he talked about the height, the depth, the width. Listen, it's higher than any mountain you're going to face. It's a love that's bigger than your biggest battles. It's a love that will outlast your greatest test and trial. In fact, Romans chapter 8 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. How's that love work in our relationship with God? Well, this is what happens. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Jesus said, "This is the great command, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself." But how does any of that even begin to happen? We love him because he first loved us. That's where it starts. Him loving us, reaching out to us, making a way for us to know him, drawing us to him by his loving kindness. You see, if you know God tonight, it is because he loved you. And our love for God is a response to his love. Do we love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength? That great commandment. You see, that's where we need to focus on our relationship with God, is that we love him more, that we truly love him with all our heart. That needs to be our focus, because that's the most important thing. I want to remind you, you know, Jesus said that on those two commands hang all the law and the prophets. When you get those two right, you get everything else right. Now, some people have kind of tried to reduce that to, well, if I just say I love God and I love people, it doesn't matter what else I do. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that when you really love God and you really love people, you're going to do everything else that falls in line with that. We love God more than anything. I believe it's a delight to come and worship. Sometimes I feel like I'm trying to get people to come to church. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about church people. Trying to get people to come to church. How much do we love him? I know there's lots of things involved there. I know I grew up hearing things like, how I don't need to go to church to be with a bunch of hypocrites to love God and worship God. There's room for one more. I'll tell you what, it amazes me. I don't come to church because I'm perfect. I come to church to worship God and love Him, and glorify Him. Amen. And to meet with His people. I love His people. I'm sorry that some of them are stinkers. We don't have any here. I'm just really thankful for you. Amen. But even if we did have stinkers, I'm coming. You see, we love Him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. I think we fall into this thing where we try to guilt people into coming to church, or guilt people into giving, or guilt people into serving. Browbeat people into witnessing. Trying to get them to obey God. Here's the problem with that. If that's what works, it's just religion. But love works. You see, when we really love God, we want to do those things. We want to serve Him. We want to live for Him and obey Him. And we want to worship Him. Amen. And we want to give. I want to tell you, we certainly need to be taught those things from the Scripture. We need to be taught to do those things from the Scripture. But our motivation always, always, always has to be love. That's what works. You don't do any of that out of guilt or fear. Neither should we ever do it out of pride or trying to look good in the eyes of others. But we do it out of love for God. And when we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, I tell you, we want to do all of those things. Jesus said in John 14, 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one that loves me." Who loves Jesus? The one who has the bumper sticker. No, the one who has His commandments and keeps them. That's the one that loves Him. It's not talk. It's something that you do. The one who keeps His commandments, it's He who loves me. And then in John 15, 12, He tells us this. "This is my commandment, that you love one another." This is really big in the teaching of Jesus. Love one another as I've loved you. This is my commandment. Love one another. Love works, you see, to bring real change in our heart and life, because it changes how we treat other people. Give me that old time religion. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. I'm telling you, we need to go back and see some of those old songs. And well, some young people may think, "Oh man, what is we got this old pastor?" I want to tell you something. We need a love that makes us love everybody. There's too much hate and animosity in the body of Christ today, and it is the work of the devil. We're supposed to love everybody. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be some phony Pharisee hypocrite that talks about Jesus but hates people. We're supposed to love everybody. This is my commandment, that you love one another. And if we love Him, we're going to do that. That's what works. Our love, it can't just be talk. 1 John 3:18 says, "Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Can't just be something we talk about. It's got to be practically lived out. And you know, I said this at the beginning tonight, something we all know, but sometimes the breakdown, the disconnect is in us living it out. And so I want to talk about that for just a few minutes. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, it has to be something you live out every day. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. I like the way the New King James and the King James uses the word walk here, because it's something that you walk out every day. That you live it out in a practical way in your life every day. Not think about or talk about or intend to do, but something that you do. Now, here's where we're going to get practical for just a minute. If you ever wonder how to love someone, how to show someone you love them, how to walk it out, how to treat someone, you treat them the way you want to be treated. It's not really complicated. If you were that person, how would you want to be talked to? How would you want somebody to act towards you? Would you want to be ignored? How do you want to be treated? That's what it is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you want to be loved? How do you want to be treated? In fact, Jesus said it very plainly in Luke 6:31, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. You want to know how to love somebody in a particular situation? How do you want to be treated? That's it. Love works. Love works in building the church. It's Jesus' church, and he's building it with love. In Ephesians 4:16 in the NIV, it says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I want you to see this, that it says, when we love and we work, the body grows and builds itself up. That is both spiritually and numerically. How's the body grow? How is Jesus building his church? This is how he's moving and working in the body of Christ. It says each part does its work in love. You can't leave the love out. Doesn't matter how hard we work for God, if we leave the love out, it doesn't work. I want to make this real clear. You see, we plant, we water, God gives the increase. We need to understand this. Love is the most important ingredient, but we don't love because, well, we got to love because that's what will work. No, we work because we love. See, we do whatever it is we do because we love. Again, it has to be the motivation. I've talked about this before, but it's just no better way to say this. Anybody like cake? Some of us aren't allowed to have cake. Have you ever had cake without sugar? You wouldn't want to eat it. You know, it's like the most important ingredient. And love has to be the most important ingredient in everything we do for God. And it certainly is the most important ingredient in a church. A church without love is like cake without sugar. It's yuck. Oh, but they got sugar substitutes now. It's not the same. And I'm going to tell you, there's all kinds of things that people try to substitute for love in church. It's not the same. I mean, there are some who pride themselves, literally pride themselves on their doctrinal correctness, but they don't love people. Here's the problem with that. If you don't love people, your doctrine is wrong. Because the most important doctrine is that you love people. That's pretty simple, y'all. Then there are churches that they substitute technology and flash and programs, and they got big names and personalities. They use all kinds of gimmicks and sales pitches. I mean, they use worldly things all the time, and it may draw people like moths to a light bulb. But I want to tell you, in the final analysis, it doesn't work to change people's lives. Because what works is when we love. The church grows and builds itself up in love. It's not built by the strength or the might of man or charisma or personality, not by a program, but with love. It's not tradition. It's not because it's cool and trendy or seeker-friendly. Have it your way, church. This is what works, love. That's what really works. And that's one of the things I love about this church. It's not perfect. You just look right up here and you're like, yeah, we know. Yeah, it's not perfect. Do you know those guys that Jesus was talking to, they sure weren't perfect, were they? But this body of believers love one another, care for one another. And if you hadn't experienced that, well, stick around. We're going to get you involved. We're going to get connected with you. But that's the way this church is. And I just want to encourage you. See, we're headed the right way. But tonight, I'm just saying, let's just pour it on. Let's make this our thing. Because it's supposed to be our thing. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. It's what we're supposed to be known for. In John 13, 34 and 35, he says it this way, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so must you love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. That's how the world is supposed to know that we're his disciples. Now get this. Not, oh, well, they know we're Christian. No, they know that we are one of his. It is the earmark of a disciple. What do you want to be known for as a church? Spirit-filled? Yeah. The Word? Yeah. Worship? The presence of God? Yes. Great youth ministry and children's ministry? Yes. Lots of great things. Lots of good things. A whole bunch of things. But here's the thing. More than anything else, we should want to be known for this. That we love one another. Because he said, this is how all will know. And so I say, we got to remember it's the main thing. There's all kinds of good things, but there's one thing that we as a church got to keep as the main thing. We love God and we love our neighbor as ourselves. We love one another. He said, this is how all will know. If you love one another as I have loved you. And remember, he said, this is my commandment. And what did he say about his commandments? The one who keeps his commandments is the one who loves him. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Doesn't matter how good we talk, how gifted of a communicator we are, how much you speak in tongues. I want to tell you, if it's not love, it's just a bunch of noise. Not effective. Because it doesn't work without love. It doesn't matter if we're witnessing, talking to people about the Lord. Whatever we're doing, if it's not done in love, it's not going to work. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. You know, we're all impressed with those kinds of gifts, but it doesn't matter what our gifts or talents or abilities without love. They're fruitless. They don't work. I want to tell you, without love, the world is not impressed and God's not either. We can have great faith and tell the world about how blessed we are. But if we don't have love, we just sound like so much self-righteous bragging. We got to remember the reason we do what we do. Whether it's preaching in the pulpit, or singing, leading in worship, teaching a children's class, serving as a greeter, small group leader, witnessing, talking to people out in the community. Whatever we do, this is why we do it. Because of love. That's it. Love for God and love for people. Verse 3 says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So you can give your money and, well, you'll get a tax deduction. But if the motivation is not love, you gain nothing. He talks about surrendering your body to the flames. Well, surely if I give my life like that, I would. Can you do that without love? Yeah. There's a lot of religious people in this world that give their body. They blow themselves up. And it's not for love. It's for hate. And they think they're going to gain 70 virgins, but the Bible says they're going to gain nothing. But tonight, I'm talking to us, and I'm just telling you, you can't leave the love out. Love is what works. It can't be just because of pride or selfish ambition. It all amounts to nothing. Love works because it changes how you treat people. I want to read from verse 4 through 8 here in the NIV. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love works. Now, you know, we read through all of those things describing love. It's a tall order. And most of us haven't gotten it all down yet. But here's the thing. We ought to be working on it. That we want to love just like He wants us to. Love everybody the way He wants us to. To truly be a real follower of Jesus. We want to be more like our Savior. Love works because love is how God changes lives through us. You know, so much of what God does in this world, He does through people. He does through His church. And it's Him working through us in love. See, a whole lot of the time when the Lord's going to give a hug to somebody, He's going to use somebody to do it. When the Lord's going to comfort somebody, a lot of the time He's going to use somebody to do it. And we just got to be willing to be that vessel of love that God uses. But I want to just mention to you, you know, all of us know people that need the Lord. All of us know people that need to change. I just want to remind you again, Jesus is our example. And Jesus didn't condemn people. And if we want to reach people, we're going to have to love them and quit acting like, listen, this stuff that's going on with Christians today, just angry, like they want those people to go to hell. No, we want to win them to Jesus. And the only thing that's going to work is love. That's the only thing. And when you look at the ministry of Jesus and the things that he did, well, the only people that Jesus was ever harsh with was the scribes and Pharisees, who were a bunch of hypocrites keeping people from the kingdom of God. But to the rankest, lowest sinners, how about that thieving Zacchaeus, stealing from people, from his own people, he's stealing from people. Jesus goes to his house and his life is forever changed. How about Mary Magdalene? Jesus, listen, have you ever met somebody with the devil? I think I have. I'm pretty sure I have at church. She had seven. Can you imagine how awful she must have been? Seven devils, and Jesus cast those devils out of her, and she was the first one that witnessed the Lord's resurrection. I'm just telling you, this is the Savior we serve, and this is what works in reaching people, is to be like Jesus and love people even when they're bad. Show them the love of Jesus. That's what works. How about that woman that came in to wash his feet with her tears, and she dried them with her hair, and she kissed his feet, and then she anointed them with the expensive oil. And the Pharisee said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. She was known for being a sinner, a notorious sinner. Jesus loved her. And she loved Jesus. Changed her life. I want to tell you, he reached them because he loved them. That's the only way. You can't reach everybody. I know that sounds discouraging, but I don't want you to get disillusioned. Jesus didn't reach everybody. It's a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And Jesus told him that he needed to go sell what he had and give to the poor. And the Bible actually says this. Jesus loved him. But the man went away sad because he loved his money. You can't reach everybody. But here's the thing. So many you can if we just love them. You know, Sunday I talked about how prayer can change others. Absolutely. We always pray. We don't do anything without God's help. He's the one that can change the heart. But sometimes we get to have a part in that. I really believe that when it comes to us being personally involved and bringing change in somebody else's life, if we leave the love out, it builds walls and it harms. And it alienates. You can't leave the love out. Love works. Close with a verse. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you do be done with love. Let all that you do be done with love. Stand with me. We're going to pray.